Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody here, everybody at home. Why don't you stand as we're going to read from the Word of the Lord and open up our service at Lord of the Harvest this morning. Again, we'd like to invite everybody to come back into house and fellowship with one another. As we always say, you can't fellowship by yourself. You have to fellowship with someone else. So we invite everybody back into the house, and if you're able, Lord, we want to send an apostolic anointing and healing for all those that are at home ill. Heal them, Lord, in Jesus' name. We stand together in that. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 19. I've been into the Psalms. Psalm 19, I read it this week. It's just been kind of where I'm at, but I want to just make a declaration in reading it. Excuse me. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't that a comfort? He hears every word that we speak when we're speaking to him. Amen. That's awesome. So there, in verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me, Lord, from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yes, Lord. Lord, let the words of our mouths this morning and the meditation of you on our hearts be acceptable this morning in your sight. Lord, be our strength and be our Redeemer. Bring breakthrough this morning, Lord, we ask, in the power of your holy name, in Jesus, whom we love. Bless us this morning as we bless you, Lord God, and worship you in spirit and truth, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Good morning, church.
Amen, amen.
For communion, we're going to read Psalm 67 today.
Thank you.
I'm going to read through it and then share a couple things. God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I really loved what Sharon said. That was a good word, Sharon. Good word. Good word. I love this psalm. Well, first of all, for probably like a week and a half, the Lord just keeps reminding me of the verse where it says that his face would shine upon us. And it's in many places throughout Scripture. And this psalm is, in that first verse, it's referring to the number 624, priestly blessing. The priests were to bless the people with the priestly blessing. And I'm not going to read it. I'm going to let you guys go home and look at that yourself. But it's number 624. And let me read verse 1 in Psalm 67 out of the New Living Translation, just this one verse. It says, now keep in mind, too, this is setting the tone for the psalm. It says, may God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May his face smile with favor on us. Now, how often do you guys think about God looking at us and smiling? I never think of that. I don't think I'm the only one. I think most of us don't think of him as smiling. But that's one of the translations, if you will, of what it means for his face to shine upon us. It literally means, when it says his face smile, it literally means with us. With us. Not just to us, like, I'm smiling at you, Joyce. Literally, God with us. And don't we want his favor, his blessing, his mercy to be with us all the time? I love that verse. I love that translation. The psalmist is actually invoking God to move according to who he is. Yes. He's merciful. Yes. The psalmist knows that. I don't think he's begging. Oh, God, be merciful to us, please, please, please. I think he knows. I think he knows this is a God who's merciful. Yes. I'm going to ask him for mercy. And because who he is merciful, he's going to give it to us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, bless us. And we all need blessings, don't we? I mean, we pray. Please pray for my family. Please pray for my health. I mean, we're always asking for God to bless us, right? And we pray for each other. In some form or another, whatever our request is, we're wanting a blessing. And then from there, his next request is to make his face shine or smile upon us.
Yes.
Three things he's asking in this one little verse. And I believe he knows when he asks that God's going to grant the request, because it's in his very nature to do so. And what I love about this psalm is there's no me in it. There's not one me. It's us.
Yes.
Do you know this is meant to be a corporate? Let his face smile upon us,
yes.
Not me, us. That's why in worship today it was so important that we all praise him,
yes.
That we all open our mouths,
yes.
That we all worship.
Yes.
It is a corporate manifestation of who God is. God with us, not God with me. Not God with just you, my brother. Not God with just you, guys. All of us together. Then, look what happens in verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. He goes from us, the church, to everyone. God wants to be merciful. He wants to bless. He wants to shine his face, be with the whole earth. I love that. There's no me. It's not even just me and the church, all about, and you know, there's a lot of that right now. You know, the church is just all about us. Fill in the blank of all the craziness that's going on out there. But you know what? When God blesses us, it should trickle over onto the world.
Yes.
It should be witness to the world.
Yeah.
And if the world isn't seeing that, it makes me go, wow, Lord. Wow. What needs to change here,
right.
With us, so that there is the whole world receiving Jesus? Let the people praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Isn't that what worship was all about today? All of us praising him. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. He always judges us with mercy and blessing. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. There's the blessing again. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So these three petitions in that one verse really include all that we need corporately. Be merciful to us, God. Bless us. Let your face smile upon us, that it may go and overflow into the lost. And really, when you think about it, when you really think about all the blessings that we've received, what's the best one you ever got? It's Jesus, right? I mean, think about it. Is there anything better? Nothing compares. Nothing compares. And that's what we want. We want Jesus to be so overflowing here that the lost receive Jesus. So for the blessing today in communion, Lord, I want to ask, Lord God, that you would be merciful to us. Lord, that you would bless us. That your face would smile with us, granting us favor. Lord, and Lord Jesus, may there be so much mercy, blessing, and your favor upon us, Lord God, that it spills over into the lost, Lord God, that the world would know the great gift that you gave us in your Son. Lord, I thank you for your body, Lord God, that strengthens us, and Lord, for your blood that washes us clean, Lord God. Strengthen us today, Lord God. Heal those who are sick in our midst, Lord God, those who are struggling with different things, Lord. Heal and strengthen us, Lord God, and wash us clean by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Please forgive me. I was drifted off in thought for a minute there. Praise God, everybody. First of all, before we begin, let's just send up some praise for Pastor Jan and Pastor Oz. You know, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for our leaders. We just ask and pray, Father, that you will just demolish COVID, Lord God, and any type of sickness or illness that tries to come up against the Osminskis, Lord God, we ask that you demolish it now in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord God, heal Pastor and keep Pastor Jan better, make her better, Lord God, and just continue to watch over them and their family and bless them, Lord God, and make them younger. While I'm asking, let me just ask you to make them younger, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and give them boldness, Father God, give them the boldness that Paul had in the name of Jesus, that they will preach your unadulterated word. Father God, I thank you and praise you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, man, you know what? I'm tired of this flesh. I was just back there sitting back there like, man, I am tired of this ugly flesh of mine. Man, it is ugly. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, man. And Sharon, I praise God for you. Praise God for the praise team. But man, this flesh is ugly. But I thank God that he separated the workings of it. You know, because you have good and you have evil working in the same building, in the same body. And we have to make a choice. And I just thank him so much for separating the two and for giving us the Holy Spirit to see the difference. Without the Holy Spirit, people, we wouldn't be able to see anything. We wouldn't be able to see the difference. All we would know is what the flesh wants, what feels good, what we think is right, you know, what our attitude tells us to do. But God had a better plan. And Lord God, I thank you for that. Father, as I get into your word, I just ask and pray that you use me today and just break it down to where it tastes like apple and oranges. I've never heard anybody tell me an apple and orange was nasty. Break it down, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now here. First of all, I got to share a little story. I was at work, this was a couple weeks ago, and, you know, here lately I've been very pleasant, easygoing, because the anointing of the Lord is on my life. Even the more there at work now. And the guy that I've been knowing, this guy I've been knowing for 20 years, just flips the script. Anybody in here has somebody they've been knowing a long time, and then one day they just flip, they just go to the left. You at home, maybe you have, you know, maybe you know or been through, maybe your family member, maybe it's somebody that you're connected to. But the point that I'm making is, this guy, I've helped, I've prayed for, sat on the phone listening to for hours, and he just flips. I said, Lord, where am I at? What season am I in that this is happening to me? And you know what he told me? He said, you're on another level now. He said, take that and know that you're on another level. See, we don't stay at the same place in God all the time, people. Let me share something with you. You don't stay there. You know why? Suffering. Trials. And tribulations. They're designed that you don't stay there. Suffering, man. You ain't gonna stay at the same place. Them trials, you ain't gonna stay. It's no way possible you can remain the same person through trials, tribulations, and suffering. You learn from these three things. They're kind of synonymous. They're kind of all the same, but they're a little different. Today I want to talk to you about what my brother Paul went through. He was somebody that could tell you, but he could talk to you 24/7 about that. Paul, oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. People, we have to have suffering, trials, and tribulations. We have to. That's our motivating force that keeps us moving, that keeps us gravitating to God. You got to realize, if it wasn't for suffering, trials, and tribulations, a lot of us wouldn't pray. Come on, come on in here now. I know I ain't in here by myself. Some of us wouldn't even pray if it wasn't for suffering, trials, and tribulations. We wouldn't even pray. But guess what? God, his plan for suffering, pain, and tribulations, his plan was to reward you when you go through and you keep him at the top of your list, at the front of your mind, in your mouth, praising him. You got, oh my God, you got to praise him. People at home, Facebook, you got to praise God through the trials and tribulations. You got to praise him, because on the backside of it, he got something for you. Sometimes blessings ain't going to even come without the trials and tribulations. Someone, have you ever just got something from some out of somewhere you ain't know where it came from? It's because you probably suffered. Something happened and you responded correctly. Something happened and you executed everything just right. And the Lord said, yep, okay, boom. Give her this. Give him that. Give him this. Bless him. You did right, son. You did right, daughter. You see what I'm saying? That's how God is. But we have to stop looking at this thing as a bad thing. Because guess what? God has a plan for everything that we suffer, for every trial we go through, and every tribulation. I hear you at home. I hear a couple people say, nah, he tripping. No, I ain't tripping. I got the word to back up what I'm saying. See, you have to believe and trust in faith. You have to. This young man was just checked out on me and tried to get me in trouble with the supervisor, man. He tried to flip the script right in front of the supervisor. But I have to admit, I cannot lie to you. Did I respond the way the Lord would? No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Because, see, you got to understand that I don't devise plans to see you fall. I can't sit up and contemplate on what I can do to set you up. Because I already know that as soon as I do that, God gonna allow the enemy to come around and set me up. See, this thing works both ways, man. And I kind of lost it. Because I just felt wronged. I felt wronged. I felt like, all these years you calling me on the phone crying and whining and sniffling and snotting, and I'm praying with you, and I'm praying with you on the job, and I'm blessing you, going to lunch with you, hearing your problems. And then you turn around and set me up. But God said, don't worry about it, Bird. He said, don't worry about it. He said, you're handling the sufferings and the trials and tribulations greatly. He said, because with that time, you lost it. He said, but the next time you're going to be stronger, because trials and tribulations, they come to make you stronger. And then when I went home and I thought about it all the way home, I by the time I got home from the job, it's about a half hour, 35, 45 minutes sometimes. Pulled up in my driveway, and I knew. I said, Lord, it is another level that I'm on. I'm on another level. But see, seasons change sometimes without you even knowing it. See, but God, oh God, let me go here. Watch this. Let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 real quick. Watch what he said. Watch what Solomon gives us here. Thank you, God. The title to it is A Time for Everything. And see, we got to understand, people, that sometimes it's God that's using the suffering and the trials and the tribulations to get you somewhere. We don't believe it, but it is. You know, oh man, we get stuck sometimes. Don't you know that? People at home get unstuck. Because God going to use something to get you to move. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Must I go on? It's a time. It's a season for everything. And see, the thing that God wants to bring out now in this season is that this COVID thing, my God, it just keeps going on, going on, going on. Now it went from COVID to monkeypox. Then I heard just that it might be another COVID coming out on the news. And I'm like, man. See, but we've been through the worst of it. What, COVID been out 2 years now? And let me tell you something. This thing was devastating. Because when I had to stay in the house, when I had to stay in this one-bedroom apartment for 6 months, I was, man, I ain't got no hair as it is. I was pulling it out. I was sitting there like, oh, Lord, what in the world? I got to get out of here. I got to get out. Couldn't come to church. I was like, no, we're not going to do church. We're going to do church online. I'm like, man, I can't even go to church. I can't even go to church. But see, it was a reason. See, I truly believe that the Lord was showing us, hey, man, it's a lot of other things that you can experience out here if I allow you to. Because that threw everybody for a loop, COVID. Even those people that didn't believe, even those people that don't believe. Because when you have death on the floor, it opens up people's eyes. And see, I was like, wow, Lord, what is going on? What is happening? He said, I'm trying to show you something. He said, you okay? Your eyes are on me. He said, but I'm trying to show you something. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's start in verse 3. Remember, suffering, trials, and tribulations. This is what we're talking about here. But I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I want to show you something that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to start in verse 3. This is Paul, Apostle Paul speaking. You know, Apostle Paul knew about suffering because he caused much suffering. And God allowed him to go through it. Every time he turned around, this guy couldn't go from he couldn't go from one town to the other town without something going on. Okay, let's start reading 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That is powerful right there. He allowed us to feel it so that we can help comfort our brother and sister. We can help comfort somebody in the world that don't know him. That we can extend what he extended to us to others. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Our consolation, man, it's a lot of things God uses to console us. A lot. And you got to know, if you're suffering and you're going through trials and tribulations, if you keep him in the front, it's some consolation coming. You can't start listening to mama, auntie, uncle. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's your consolation. Sometimes he just wants you to go through so he can wake you up. Like Sharon said earlier, wake up. She spoke it. I was sitting back there praying. I'm like, oh, Lord. She spoke it. Sufferings, we're going to go through it. Trials, we're going to go through it. Tribulation, we're going to go through it. That is our lot for being a Christian. Why? Because Christ paid the price already. You mean to tell me you won't take a little suffering, trial, and tribulation instead of getting up on the cross? I will. I'll take it, Lord. Give me the suffering, trial, and tribulation. I don't want to hang up there. I don't want to get whipped with 39 stripes. And you know, wow, powerful, 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 Holy Spirit. The Lord, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Them 39 stripes Jesus took were for the 39 sicknesses and disease that's on this earth. God, Holy Spirit, you bad, man. 39, it's 39 sicknesses with Mary Jo. It's gotta be. It's 39. Whoo, let me get off of that. But I thank you for suffering, Lord Jesus. He paid the price for it. We can definitely take the little stuff that we're going through on a daily basis here. Amen? Watch this. 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Oh, Paul was bad. Now, hold on now. Let me slow down here. Now, wait a minute. When did Paul get all of this wisdom and knowledge about suffering? He first got it when he got it he got it when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He knocked him off that donkey, man, and then when he got up, he was blind. That was one of the first ones right there. He was blind. Then Ananias. Then look how powerful God is. You were home, check this out. God took a disciple. Ananias wasn't nothing but a disciple, y'all. He gave Ananias the word of wisdom and gave it to him and told him, go lay your hands on him. Now he was a devout disciple, though. He gave him a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Go lay your hands on him and let him receive his sight. Wait a minute. How you just gonna use this guy? He didn't want the apostles to go. He sent Ananias. Ananias said, wait a minute, Lord. I heard all kind of stuff about this dude. You want me to go there to get killed? I ain't going there to get killed. Lord said, go. No harm shall come to you. He sent a disciple. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to have no name to be used by God. You ain't got to have no name. You just got to endure the suffering, the trials, and the tribulations. And you got to respond correctly. See, Paul, he blind. And okay, then they put him on this donkey, and he go, and Ananias come and lay his hands on him, and he get his sight back. But then, after that, what happened to Paul? Paul going out preaching and teaching, and they stone him. They stone him. Hey, wait a minute, dude. You the one was killing them. Now you preaching for them? Stoned him. Then after that, hold on now, I ain't done. Then after that, Paul gets on the ship, going across the water over to Asia somewhere. The Lord told him, man, don't go. He went on anyway. What the ship do? The ship tore up. Whole ship tore up. They floating in the water on boards from the ship. Suffering. That's suffering. Hoping and praying, oh, don't let no sharks eat me. Don't let no sharks eat me. That's suffering. You see what I'm saying? It's things that we have to go through for God to get our mindset in the right place. Paul had to go through all of these things. It was a purpose behind it, y'all. It was a purpose. How do you think God was able to squeeze out of him the New Testament? 19 books he wrote? God squeezed that out of him. To be something great, you gotta suffer something. You gotta go through some affliction. You gotta go through it, some persecution. That's our lot, y'all. See, I realized something a couple of weeks ago when I went through that, because now I can handle it different, Teresa. Because God let me know, Bird, you got to go through that. You don't got to be offended by it. You ain't got to be thrown back that you knew this guy all these years. Just accept it. That's how powerful it is. We've been suffering for the last 2 years with sickness, people passing away, people in the hospital. Then I just went through something last week. But when I went to the hospital, I already knew God was going to raise me up. Did I know what was wrong? No, I really didn't. But I knew he was going to raise me up. See, I wish I had that kind of faith in all things. I wish. But I knew when my son him dropped me off at the hospital door that I was going to walk out of here. go through suffering. You got to go through trials. You have to be able to handle tribulation. Because it's going to make you stronger. It's really getting you ready for the next move of God. Let me just break some of these definitions down for you. Trials and tribulations. Difficult experiences. That's putting it nicely. That's putting it nicely, y'all. Hardships. But you being you're part of you is you're a divine person down on the inside of you, because the Holy Spirit is divine. He's supernatural. He's supernatural. This is the kicker, y'all. So what you experiencing is you experiencing the stuff in your flesh. And I had to get that. See, I had to get that. Getting angry, getting mad, blowing up on people anymore is useless. That's something you're supposed to be able to just let run down your back and on the ground, and you keep moving on. Cussing somebody out, getting into fist fights and all that, it's a waste of time. You ain't the flesh no more. You are a spirit being. You got to learn how to graduate from this flesh. You have to. And I think the only reason why I'm learning to graduate from the flesh is because I'm almost 60 years old. I'm just going to be real with you. I'm going to be real with you. Because once you start getting so old, y'all, for all you young people here, once you start getting older, oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit, the conversation changed between you and the Holy Spirit. Because I was like, man, Lord, what, you know what? What am I going to do? He said, well, I got something for you. I'm taking you somewhere. And I'm like, well, you know, man, I'm getting old. He said, that's what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to get old because you got more mature. You got to the place to where I can easily use you. But the younger I was, the more in the flesh I was. Oh, come on, man. Come on, y'all. Give me one amen. Amen. The younger I was, the more in the flesh I was. But when I got older, more mature, I started sitting down thinking, man, this thing is all about you now, God. I remember one time I was like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do about a wife? What am I going to do? He said, man, you don't need no wife. He said, because where I'm taking you, you ain't going to be able to, that ain't going to be nothing but a hindrance to you anyway. He said, because find somebody that's on your level. I'm like, what you mean? You can't send somebody? He said, find somebody that's on you. He said, I told you he didn't find it for wife. He said, you got to find her. He said, but what I want to do with you, you don't need no wife. He said, it's just me and you. I was like, wow. Well, get me ready. Help me keep this flesh all the way down. Let me put my foot on it. This way we can't move. Let me put my foot on it, Lord. Let me put my foot on his neck. Because my flesh wanna act up sometimes. I'm just being real with you people at home. You gotta understand, man, that I still live in the flesh, but I'm a spiritual being. And some days it gets rougher than others. That's why suffering, trials, and tribulations keep popping up. Okay. Another word. Okay, here's the layman's term for trials and tribulations. Bad things or times that we endure. I read that, I'm like, oh Lord God. Then I read hardships, unfortunate circumstances, situations. Then the last one was a test of our faith. It's only as deep as you make it. If you start going through, something happened with your kids, something happened on the job, something happened on the block, something happened anywhere, better bring Jesus into the picture quickly. Because the flesh got a mind of his own. But the best way is to say, Lord God, help me with this, man. I don't understand it. I don't know why, what's going on. Are you showing me something? What's the deal? Bring him into the picture. Because he'll help you to deal with it quickly. He knows you need it. Okay, let's go to Rome. Okay, we're going to go over a few of them. I'm wrapping it up. Let's go over to Romans 5:3-5. These scriptures may not all be in order, but we're gonna do a little page flipping today. And this is Paul speaking again. Paul knew about suffering, I can tell you that much. He didn't teach us nothing else. He taught us about that. Romans 5:3-5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Listen to that. Woo, come on, Brother Paul. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. If God is trying to get you to be patient, you tell my old God, give me patience, give me patience. Guess what's happening? Tribulations is coming. God has a way of doing things that's beyond our thinking. But guess what? He's doing it in love. He's doing it for the betterment of you. He's doing it for a better benefit of you. He said, tribulation work of patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Man, the Holy Spirit will break that thing down, man, and show you why you had to go through it and show you how to handle it. Let's go over to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Like, man, Lord, you teaching this because I went through what I went through a couple of weeks ago? Because I went through what he's like, no, man, there's some people in there that need to hear this. He said, just because you went through it a couple of weeks ago don't mean somebody ain't getting ready to go through it. People, God loves you, and I love you too. And sometimes it's hard. It's just hard to air it out and be real. But people don't like you to be a pastor in a workplace. They don't like to see you come in peaceful. Or over here laughing. A lot of times, man, I can be watching. Now, this is the thing. On my phone, I got a set of headphones. And I can be doing a truck. We working on a Maybach SUV. We paint it. And then we have to sand it and polish it. I throw my headphones on, and guess who I listen to, man? I'm going to tell you who my man is. Dr. Lester Summerall. Old school. Old school to the bone. And he be cracking me up. Because he just be so blunt, but so real and so truthful. And I be over laughing sometimes by myself. And I know people, they not happy. But I always tell them, the reason why you in the situation you in is because you don't have Christ in your life. Maybe that's offensive to them, but I told the truth. I got a young brother calling me now. He's about 50 years old. And he like, hey, man, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I said, brother, give your life to Christ, man, and let him align you where he wants you at. He called me yesterday. I talked to him for an hour. He didn't come to work yesterday, but he called me. I talked to him for an hour and just told him, bro, this thing ain't easy. I'm a pastor. I go through the same thing you go through. But I take the word and use it and apply it, and it ain't as bad. It don't be as bad. The answer is in here. Praise God. Did I finish that? But patience, let her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hey, bro, I didn't write this. And then I'll think about it. I'm like, man, Paul, how you know all that? Because he went through. Patience, have a perfect work when you go through tribulations. But you have to graduate to the level to where you can deal with it. Sometimes you can see it coming, people. Sometimes you see it coming. Let's go to James 1:12. Let's go down to 12. Watch this one. 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, that's the same thing as a trial, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How many want that crown? I really want it. I raise both of my hands. See, it's benefits to this thing. But we have to have a mindset. Do you know, man, I'm dying to these things that's going on in the world now. I be talking to God, going to work, man, sometimes. You know, when my sons them don't ride with me like the other day, man, it was just me and the Lord, man. And you know, he just showing me, man, that stuff around you don't mean nothing no more, bird. He said, what I got for you, he said, man, I need you to break this word down. I need you to tell people straight up with no chaser what the truth is. He said, you already been through it. He said, don't sugarcoat nothing. Just tell them. Because the word of God can't be, it don't need no sugar on it. However it comes to you, it might come to you with sugar on it, but it might come to that person with acid on it. Because that person may need to be burned to get the picture. Everybody is different. See what I'm saying? I'm learning that. See, man, I thought, oh, as a pastor, oh, I'm only going to be limited to being a pastor. Man, you know what God told me? I said, man, you know what? He said, I can give you whatever gift. He said, there's 9 of them. He said, I can give you whatever gift and add it to your pastoral, man. He said, and you'll be flowing. He said, you ain't only limited to the pastor. He said, I use that to get you where you are now. He said, once I add those gifts to you, he said, ain't going to be no stopping you. Because I control the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll use you the way I want to use you. See, I ain't worried about it no more. You call me Pastor, Bird, Adrian, whatever. But I used to be real concerned about that. I wanted to know who God wanted me to be. And I figured that out, that I was a pastor when I got ordained and licensed and everything, and he spoke it to Oz. Now I'm like, I'm pastor? Yeah, oh, okay. Because I seen something greater. I seen something greater that can flow through me. Lord, I want that. He said, earnestly desire those gifts. You got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have to want them. You're not going to get them just sitting here. You got to pray. You got to read. You got to study. You got to go over the definitions. You got to go back over the definitions. You got to try to function in them. You got to go back over them. But everybody here can flow in. That's part of your defense. The enemy can't even handle you with them. He can't. Yeah, is Satan supernatural? Yes, he is. But guess what? The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural too. So you on even keel when it comes to warfare. I thought God had left us out. And Holy Spirit, I don't know why you got me over here, but it's for somebody. I thought God had left me. I said, God, what, you going to just lead the enemy to just devour me? He said, no. Why you think I got you studying the gifts of the Spirit? So that you can tell your brothers and sisters and share with them that they need to desire those. They're powerful people. They will change your life. We went over to Bethel about 3-4 years ago. I was studying them, and I was just really getting to know them. And didn't the Lord use me to get a woman a word of knowledge? He said, Bird, is somebody, he says, a woman in here in the back, man, sitting over there with that purple shirt on. She's sick, but she's scared to say something. You stand up, call her up there, and y'all all pray over it. Ain't none but pastors in here. And I was like, whoa. And on the way home, he said, yeah, that was the word of knowledge. I used you. See, this is what God is about. Lord of harvest, your faith got to come up. You have to come up. It ain't nobody exempt from using these gifts. They're going to make you stronger. They'll make you, it's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning the spirits, not discerning somebody's spirit, discerning the spirit between evil and good. See, these things are equip us to defeat the enemy. Go to 1 Peter 5:10. I'm wrapping it up. I'm sorry, I don't know. You know what? I said this to the Lord the other day. How do I always get on that? Because that's him in me talking to you. He's trying to give you better. He's trying to raise you up. You ain't babies no more. Not sitting under eyes. That's why you here. Bashar, God gonna use you. You better get ready. He gonna use you, brother. The word is nigh in thy mouth. He's gonna use you. That was a word of wisdom. You see what I'm saying? Because it's the future. That's what God is about. This thing ain't no, it ain't no nickel and dime thing no more. People used to just, yeah, I'm going to church. And just go in there and sit. They put on all their nice clothes and put on some smell good, brush their teeth real good, comb their hair back, try to look cute, and just go there and sit on the pew. Because it was the word that was being preached that has to change you and mold you into what God wants you to be. You think me coming from the far west side of Detroit, man, down in the ghetto, I was on Joy Road in Greenfield, man. Joy Road. And thanks to Pastor Rob, that's how I got out here. We was in ministry school together. See, for this purpose, for this purpose. When I came here, I was beat up, bruised, wounded, battered. But guess what? When you're at that low spot, that's when God can use you the best. He'll start pumping things in you because he's a builder. He'll put this in there, you'll grow. You put that in there, you grow. He take this out, you grow. He take that out, you grow. That's the way the Lord does it. He ain't about you staying in the same place all the time. First Peter 5:10. Now watch this. Watch Peter. Love Peter. Love Peter, man. Peter is the epitome of how I used to be. I just stupid. I just was stupid, man. But God took that vessel, man, and built his church on it. Okay, trivia question. Put your thinking caps on. Who preached the first word after the Holy Spirit came? Peter. See? You know, God, I love you, man, because I'll be sitting at home. I'm like, Lord, okay, well, where we going to go on? He'll just be like, ooh, doo, doo, doo. I'm like, man, Lord, okay. You going to put it together tonight or we going to put it together in the morning? Doo, 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 doo. Wake up like, Lord, I ain't got nothing, man. Come on. What we going to teach? I can't get up there and say I ain't got nothing. Doo, 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 doo. Hour before, here you go, bird. I'm like, man, why you do me like that? Because it's not me. It's what he want to say. And I'm learning that. I'm still a learning pastor. I'm still green. I've got, what, 40 years? Man, 50. I'm probably at 15, 16, something like that, man. I'm green. But God is equipping me for what he getting me ready for, man. He said, you got to get these people ready, bird. You got to share it with them. You got to share what I'm sharing with you so they can be coming up to the level. While you going up, they can keep coming up too. Because he wants to use you wherever you go. The supermarket, the laundromat, the gas station. Speak to people, y'all. Speak. Open up your mouth. Hey, how you doing? Somebody might get in. Oh, I ain't doing too good. Bam. That's your key. That's your cue. That's your cue. Well, look, I ain't got no money, but what I got, I'm going to give you. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he called us to do. I can't say he wasted time with me, but I thought that church was just coming to church, sitting on the pew, man, paying my tithes, you know, helping out with the food ministry, you know, doing this and that and the other. And man, it brings tears to my eyes now. Because it's more than that. So much more than that. Let me tell you something, man. Philip in the Bible, man, I love him like he was here. Because him and Stephen inspires me. God knew what he was doing when he listed the things that the disciples did and then they turned into apostles and did. He knew what he was doing. Because them brothers inspire me. I can read their stuff over and over and over and over again. But in the end, one day, I want to do what they's doing. I want to go and have signs, miracles, and wonders coming out of this vessel, out of this dirty, nasty, filthy vessel. I don't want to leave here, man. I ain't performed no miracle. Why? Because Jesus said we can. He said, go into the world and do it. Do what I have done. I release you. I give you power and authority to do it. We have to change our mind here, Lord Harvest. Oh, God. You young people. You got to show them. The kids nowadays ain't going to believe it until they see it. You got to show them. Let me wrap this up. 1 Peter 5:10. Holy Spirit, touching me today. You really have. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Maybe what you've been going through these last 6 months or a year has been him settling you. He loves you. He loves all of us. But you have to get to the point to where the Holy Spirit is inspiring you to do more. You don't look for ways not to do it. You look for ways to do it. Remember, he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And once you get to the point to where you obtain the gifts of the Spirit, or at least one or two of them working in your life, God will start showing you things, man, and it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. But the thing that gets me is, it never says that they walked in the gifts of the Spirit. It never says it. But you can go read the book of Acts, and you can see them walking that thing out, laying hands on folks, healing folks, speaking the word to folks, miracles happening, signs and wonders happening everywhere they go. I want it to be like that with me. I had a vision the other day, man. I had a vision the other day, and the Lord said, yeah, everywhere you go, be prepared to lay your hands on somebody. He said, I'm going to perform something through you. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. But see, he has a certain time. God does things. Does things by allotted time. But what should you be doing until he's ready to do that? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. Oh, prophecy. See, prophecy and prophesying is two different things. See, prophecy is the exhortation, edification, and to comfort. You just speak a word to them with that. That's what that is. That's prophecy. But prophesying is speaking the future over someone's life, letting them know what God has a plan to do. See, you got your revelation gifts, the first three. The second ones are your power, and the third ones are inspiration. You got three of three, which is the divine, not divine, perfect union. Romans 5, 3-6, real quick. Did I read this, Peter? Man, I'm moving, ain't I? Did I read this? Let me see. 5:10. Yeah, got it. Making sure. Romans 5, 3-6. Lord, you know you get it in, don't you? Now I told myself, I'm standing in the mirror, you know, brushing my hair. I'm like, yeah, I ain't saying nothing on the gifts of the Spirit today. And look at this coming out anyway. It's coming out anyway. That's just how God does things, man. 5:3-6. Watch this. I hope y'all getting something out of this. Okay, I read that one. Okay, let's do Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. Yeah, watch this. Thank you, Lord. For I reckon that the sufferings, talking about suffering again, Bob, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Woo! See y'all at home? See, God got a plan for you. You think you've been going through? Yeah, maybe you've been going through. God is getting you ready to reveal some glory inside of you. Facebook, same with you. Maybe he's getting you ready to do something powerful through you. Romans 12:12. Yeah, we wrapping it up here. Stop thinking about that chicken and them mashed potatoes and gravy. 12:12. Man, we have an awesome pastor. This is a great time to interject this. Because, man, you know, some pastors, man, they won't let you be who you are. You got to get up there and sound like them, be like them, all that. Man, dude, I couldn't do it. And I thank God Almighty for Oz. Because how can I be like you when God is trying to prepare me to be the way he want me to be? Rejoice. Okay. Hold on. This is it. Let me go back and read. Let's start at 9. I'm sorry. I will read the whole thing, but I'm a little pressed for time. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Man. John 16:33. Now, John is my man. You know, I like so many of the biblical characters, but John, you know, John was on the Isle of Patmos all by himself, man. He had to have the Holy Spirit kicking it with him. Can you imagine this getting dropped? Can you imagine this a plane going over this island somewhere and booting you out because you was preaching and teaching the word? And he just left you out there? But he went on business as usual. He probably started preaching to himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Thank you, Mother Joyce. Okay, John 16:33. Let me get off of that. And these I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Look at that. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Listen to what Jesus is saying, man. When I read that this morning, I was like, woo, yeah, Lord. Yes. We have to remember this stuff when we're going through our trials, our tribulations, and our suffering. Because it's all about how we respond or how long it's going to last. You keep walking around talking about how bad it is, it's going to stay as long as you keep talking about it. But you put the word of God on it, and it might not last but one day. One day. Man, talking about suffering, man. My kids moved back in. One from school, the other one was just out there. And one day, the Lord was like, don't say nothing. He said, don't say a word. He said, don't say nothing. He said, they're growing. He said, they're growing. Don't say nothing. Let them figure it out. They're going to figure it out. But let them figure it out. Because I want to put the word on. Man, why are you doing that? Man, you know the word say. I can't overlook that. The word say this. I got to go by what it's telling me, man. The Lord say, don't say nothing. First Corinthians 10:13, and it's the last scripture. No, I told you before I started this, I had scripture. Normally, I try to keep it to two or three. I told you this time, I had scripture. I gave you the nod before I started, didn't I? Didn't I tell you? Okay. Come on, Pastor Oz, okay. You see that, Oz? I know you watching, man. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13. Woo, God, I thank you, Lord. Okay. Now this right here, man, this one right here took the cake with me. I was studying this, man. They have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And do you know what, man? My flesh be wanting to act up on me, man. I be like, man. What's going on? And I had to really catch myself, man, and start binding him. Hey, man, get down. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. You got to stay conscious of yourself because people will pull you off. They'll pull you over in conversations. They'll be talking all crazy. And next thing you know, you interjecting stuff. You got to be careful. I mean, I had a friend that worked with me. We've been friends since 2012. And, the Holy Spirit is backing me up off of him. He a Christian. This brother and his wife are pastors. The Lord taught me, tell him. He said, man, tell him. Tell him they pastors. And I'm going to use them. It seemed like every year he just going back and back and back further. I'm like, man, don't you care about? I said, man, I didn't even know my call. I didn't even know my call. But I hung out with prophets and apostles. And they telling me, oh, you a prophet, oh, you an apostle. And I'm like, oh, which one? At the time, I didn't know that, you know, you could be either or. I didn't know. I'm like, man, which one is it? That's why when I came here, I was scramble-brained. But God got me straight. See what I'm saying? They have no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Let me break down suffering. Break down trial and break down tribulation. Suffering, the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. That's what suffering is. And sometimes that's required to get this flesh under control. I had to go through quite a bit of this. Suffering. Trial. A test of faith. Patience. Or stamina through subjection. A test of faith, patience, or stamina through subjection. To suffer temptation. Trial. Tribulation. A cause of great suffering and trouble. That is only for a season, y'all. With the Lord is only for a season. I just want to tell you that. It's only for a season. But you have to believe it. You have to have the faith. You got to have the God kind of faith. You'll understand it then. Just ask him to show you a glimpse of it. He'll show it to you. And then you will understand it better while you're going through the things you're going through. All God wants you to do is change. The change is going to bring you closer to him. It's going to bring you closer. It's going to bless you. Not only you, but your family too. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the experiences of suffering, the trials and tribulation, Lord God, I thank you for keeping me and watching over me, but not only me, but everybody here and everybody under the sound of my voice on Facebook, Zoom, or whatever it may be, Lord God. But God, just have your way in our lives, Lord God. I ask that you will live big within them, Father God, that you will stretch out. And that they will feel you stretching out in them to get them to the stature that you desire for them to be. And that they will begin to walk it out by faith, Lord God. Whatever the calling is. Whatever the calling is, Lord God. You got the five, you know, ministry callings. But you have nine spiritual gifts that you can give unto us. Impart them, Lord God. Allow the word to go forth so that it will stir the people up to believe and to begin to strive for them, to ask for them, to pray about them. Father God, bless them, Lord, so they can do your will, Father God, the way you desire for them to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.